Hi, and welcome to the Triathlon Age Group Journey podcast. I'm Matt Summer, one of your co-hosts, and with me as always are Jay Kinney and Jillian Carlson. We're all age group triathletes just trying to do the best every day. Some days we survive, some days we just get by, but every day is a journey and every day we're grateful for it. So, Jay, Jillian, how you guys doing today?
Hey guys, good to see you guys again. Doing pretty good. It's been busy week at work and balancing the kids getting back to school and training and my first and only 70.3 for this year coming up next weekend. So everything's kind of piling on right now, but hanging in there.
Jillian, you sound like pretty much all my training clients right now. I can hear it in your voice, just that overwhelming sense of the kids starting back to school, work, and everything. I mean, it's definitely, I feel like everybody can relate to what's going on.
Definitely. How are you feeling about your build into this? Because it just feels like you just got back from Africa.
Yes, it does. And so does the build.
Okay.
So, not going to lie. Yeah. It feels like it's a very weird season, a very weird year from a like build and race perspective. Like I feel like I'm just getting started and my race will already be over. I contemplated doing Clash in December later, but the reality is there's a lot going on at work and then just the coordination of kids during the school year, right close to holidays, all of that stuff. I realized it was going to be a little bit too much and I needed to make sure I maintain the right balance and it's not going to be ideal for this year. So it looks like Maple Valley is my one and done on 70.3 this year. But that said, I think I'm already pretty much registered for three next year. So it's not like I'm done for good. It's just that, yeah, this year is a different year and taking in just a little bit of a different approach, a little more of a local approach, I guess. So
I think it'll be interesting to see how you do. You know, you've got plenty of years of training under your belt and you might find that you're super fresh.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I hope to encourage you. I can imagine the nerves feeling undertrained are real, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The fatigue is settling in. So I'm looking forward to taper week, I will say.
Yeah.
Okay. But
Jay, cool. You got a big week coming up, don't you? This weekend.
Yeah. I got my final race, Atlantic City. I've got my finisher glass from 2018. So it's nice. Been 5 years since I've done it. It's the last time for the race too. They're finished after this one. Ironman pulled the plug. And so I'm excited. And just like Eagle Man, when you know the course pretty well, I can visualize a lot of it. So that's kind of fun and been probably daydreaming too much at work this week. But I don't know. It's been a different build up like Jillian to this one. Not my typical consistent self this year. And then we made a decision that stress this summer was probably more than really my body was tolerating. So we didn't put a lot of long rides in, but I feel okay and fresh. And it's only 56 miles, right? We can handle that.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm hoping to ride conservatively. I'm going to try to be very smart about that and make sure that the work we've been doing on the run can finally show up. So we're going to hopefully mentally be smart with that power meter during the race for once rather than getting aggressive like my normal self.
Well, I mean, I'm a little opposite of you guys. I mean, I'm an empty nester. It's a little weird in my house. It's very quiet. I'm definitely
young to be empty.
Oh, man. I'm doing a great job filling time, though. Let me tell you. I have a hard time saying no when I'm asked to do things or get involved with other opportunities. And, you know, obviously, I'm heading back out west. I'm doing Maple Valley with Jillian. I was just out there over Labor Day. Had a blast. I did an impromptu Olympic distance try out there over the weekend. Went well. You know, I think I discovered a secret for me. I was able to get second overall, which was pretty nice. I was very pleased with that. You know, and I know we're all guilty of this. We create expectations. We create disappointment before things even happen. And I know locally, and I think all of us are guilty of this. We look at the start list. Worst thing I can do. Local races, I look at the start list and I see names and I'm like, oh man. Or I'm like, oh, they're a better cyclist than me, or I know they're faster than me in the water. And it's like, I've already defeated myself before I even get in there and put the fruit of my labor to the test. And heading out west, when I was at that race, I could look at the start list all I wanted. I didn't know the people. I didn't know probably 99% of the people on that list. So I had no expectations. And I just went out there with, I'm going to catch you if you're in front of me mentality. And I think it worked. The swim went well. I did come off the bike and Jillian was there cheering. It was great. It's always nice to hear people, you know, cheering for your name and to hear your name, not just, hey, you go. And as soon as I got on the bike, I dropped my chain and I'm like, are you kidding me? So I'm standing there getting it back on and I see like three people go by me and I'm like, son of a gun, you know? And the one guy that went by me ended up being the overall winner. And I keep replaying in my mind, like, had I been in front of him and he went by me, would that have been enough to like, all right, Matt, let's find that third gear a little sooner? Did I get complacent on the bike? Because I think I would have pushed harder. And would that have put me in a better position? I came off, had a great run. I was sub 40 for the 10K. It was a lot hillier than I expected. I was really expecting one of these nice, flat Washington State runs. Not even close. So, you know, I was pleased with that. And it was a good day. Had fun. Jillian volunteered at the race. When I got done, I ended up volunteering at the end as well. I helped break down transition, which was a lot of fun. And so that was nice. But met a very one of our podcast followers. Give her a shout out. Melissa Miller was there. And she was super excited. She was like, oh my gosh, this is great. I'm meeting Jillian and Matt. And she even tagged us in a picture and was like, you know, it was kind of like a superstar moment. It's like, geez, it was a little weird. So Melissa, thank you for being a loyal listener. It was great meeting you. And congratulations again on that age group podium that you had out there at the Bonnie Lake Triathlon. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time. And interested to see what happens next weekend as well with Jillian on a little bit bigger stage, a little bit more robust competition. So it should be a fun weekend. I'm feeling good, feeling fit, and we'll see. I mean, just got to show up and play my hand that day, you know?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And love it. As Matt said, I mean, I actually just totally forgot. I've been so consumed with just everything else going on. But yeah, I checked off that goal box, that to-do box for this year and got my volunteer race in. And so that was a ton of fun. I mean, eye-opening to how much work goes into it and it was changing companies too. So a lot of areas that could use some improvement. But at the end of the day, it was fun to actually be there at start. So I had to get my long run in. I think I got up at 3:40 in the morning and was done with my 90-minute run before even daybreak hit. Like, it was still pitch black out. I had the running headlight on, but just reminded me, if anyone's ever done Ragnar or like Hood to Coast or, you know, one of those run events that run overnight. So I just kind of took myself back in time to one of those, and it definitely helped it not feel so lonely out there and quiet. But there's no traffic, so that was great. And the sense of satisfaction from being done before the day's even started. It's pretty nice, actually, because I think I crashed in the afternoon.
I was going to say, needless to say, we were both pretty worthless come about 6 o'clock, 7 p.m. It was just like fading on the couch. And, you know, we were sitting there. We got up on Sunday and actually went and rode the Maple Valley 70.3 bike course. So did some recon on that. And that's a sneaky course. It's going to be interesting. I mean, it's total elevation is about 2,800 feet, but it's sneaky. I mean, there are a lot of these downhills and sharp turns right up another hill. So you lose a lot of speed momentum on the course. So it's not really that hilly. It's just how the hills are positioned and how you lead into them, where it's a challenging course. It's going to be interesting to see how people manage that, because I think if they really blow up those hills, it's going to come and bite them in the rear end. We all know that, you know?
Jillian, what kind of jobs did you have during the volunteer effort?
So I was packet pickup in the beginning, and I had said that I would work the metals and like pulling timing chips off, or, you know, if someone's sweaty and gross and just needs a shoulder to be on, I won't care. But found out that there were more people there, and the way the finish line was with some of the flags, you actually had to come off the road because of road rules. They couldn't have the runners on the road in this particular section, which was literally, I mean, what, Matt, 100 meters from the finish, that you had to like bail off and go onto the gravel shoulder of the road against the bushes kind of. And it was on a blind corner basically for the racers. And there's people going out around the corner, and then the finishers coming in and coming around the corner. And so I, as I'm standing at the finish, watching people finish, I see a ton of people actually run past the chute, because you're coming to the finish, you're locked, you think you should be on the road, not having to go way off to the shoulder into the gravel. So it just wasn't set up very well. And so I decided, you know what, I'm going to go save people from having to backtrack and run turnaround. And so I went and just created a new spot right at the finish line chute to direct people down the chute the proper way. And it, I felt a lot like a Toro. like a rodeo, not a rodeo clown. What are they called?
The Matadors.
Matador. I felt like a matador. And it's a good thing that I've raced before, so I understand like what it's like to be in the finish line zone. And even though I'm like standing there, like about to get run over by finishers, and I'm like, gravel to the finish, go to the gravel to the finish. And some of them were like, what do you want me to do?
He had that orange flag.
Well, I didn't in the beginning though.
Oh, okay.
And so some of them like, what am I supposed to do? And I'm like, okay, I know I literally just said it and I'm pointing to it and all these other people are too, but I've been there. I get it.
The tunnel vision. Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyhow, it ended up being, they're like, oh, okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you. And you can see them kind of snap out of that daze. I'm like, it's all good. I've been there.
Yeah.
So it's
very cool. You did the volunteer audible. I like it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I know it's been a busy week for all of us, but I'm super excited about the guest we have here. But before we get going, you guys want to jump into the quote of the week? I got a pretty good one, I think.
Yeah.
Here we go. You can live your life drawing lines, or you can live your life crossing lines. It's up to you. That one really jumped at me, because all through life, we're sitting here thinking like this is what you do or what you don't do. Like, don't go past this. Like, we set parameters for us to stay within. Are we limiting ourselves? Maybe we need to cross those lines sometimes, whether it's in training. Until you really push yourself, how do you know you can't go harder? You can't go farther. How do you know there's not another side beyond that? And so this one kind of jumped to me in so many different ways, but we can live life drawing lines, or we can live life crossing lines. What do you think?
I think it's exactly why we need to have a coach when you're training triathlon. Your coach tells you when you might need to draw the line versus cross the line, for sure. We can't do it objectively on our own. I'm convinced of that. Either direction. You know, on our own, you're going to draw a line or you're going to cross the line. And you need an objective observer in this sport, for sure.
Jillian?
I'm thinking, Jay, you're going to have to edit this.
Okay, it's totally fine, because this one took me a few seconds to figure out.
I had to hear Matt explain it to be like, what exactly does that mean?
Like, you can go so many different directions.
I know. Yeah.
You really can. I know we've all seen that meme out there where it's like, don't be the girl on the left, be the girl on the right. And you see the girl standing there on the left, the ballerinas like doing their hands above their head. And then on the right, the girl hanging by her legs upside down on the bar. You know, it's like, do you want to conform or do you want to push the envelope? Sometimes we're told to conform. And it's like every once in a while, it's like you just got to break the ice and do your thing, you know? I'm trying to tee it up for you, Jillian. You're a softball player. I mean, here's an underhand pitch.
You're killing me. Like, I just had like the worst week. I had a workout where I like was 20 to 50 watts off of target and was giving it everything. So there was no line crossing. I felt like I was going backwards. So, and like, this is not for me, that quote. I'm like,
hey guys, this is why we do this podcast, because we're age group triathletes. Yeah. Full transparency right here for everybody, for all our listeners.
Well, even the pros have days like this, right? Yeah. And I love the quote because it gives you the freedom to draw a line or cross a line. Right. I mean, we have the freedom to pull, go both directions. And I think sometimes you do have to draw a line.
Right.
I don't know. Brett, what do you think? We're going to throw you on the hot seat now, man.
So honestly, like my first thought went to like not triathlon, but parenting.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm drawing a line and crossing lines since, like, you know, I got a daughter who's 5 and twin boys that are almost 3. I feel like I try to draw a lot of lines and they cross a lot of lines. And then to figure out like, when do I draw lines and how hard is the line? When is it flexible and when is it rigid?
Hey, that's a great perspective.
Yeah, that's good.
Nah, that's very true. You know, they try to stretch the line.
Yeah. Yes. But I will agree with Jay on like a coach can help dramatically on that, you know, when do you draw and when do you cross? You know, as well, I know Matt and I are talking earlier, like I got a run on Sunday and he gave me a pace and he's like, you can go 5 seconds, not 10 seconds faster, not 15, not 30. You got five. You can go 5 seconds under per mile pace. Yeah.
I got to be specific because I know you got to know your customer. You got to know your customer. Well, I know we can go a lot of different directions on that one. We could spend more time, but I'm anxious to share Brett's story. As I mentioned, with us today is Brett Collins, very accomplished age group triathlete, based in Chicago, family man. He's already mentioned daughter, twin boys, amazing wife, great support system at home, just an all around great human being. I can't say enough about that. But, you know, we're going to share some good information and learn a little bit about his journey into the sport and hopefully have some laughs along the way. So Brett, welcome. We're glad to have you here and, you know, happy to hear your story.
Yeah. Well, I feel like with that type of intro, like I can only go down. So nah. Maybe we should just cut it. We'll keep it like your shortest podcast ever.
There we go. We don't want it as fast as your 5K. Okay. So we'll stretch that a little.
Well, we're at 1928. So I think we're already way.
Yeah.
We're well
past his 5K. So.
Yeah, like what got you into the sport? Like go back to the beginning.
I grew up playing soccer when I was little, did a bitty soccer. I grew up in a small town in Ohio. And really my gateway into the sport was swimming. So I started swimming when I was in junior high for whatever reason. Thought it was a good idea. It's funny because my mother wanted me to swim and I refused. And then my best friend started swimming and I begged her to join the team. And man, did she have to be pissed like after like argument. But yeah, so I started swimming in junior high.
It was one of those lines she was asking you to cross.
And so I know, Matt, you talk about being like an adult onset swimmer. I mean, even starting at the age of 12, I was already behind of like kids that have been swimming for 6+ years. So I tried my damnedest to like catch up as much as I could. I really got hooked on the sport. Funny thing is like I had asthma as a kid. And so like, I don't know either through age or like through just sheer amount of training, but like worked myself out of asthma. I remember like swimming a 200 was like terrible and like having to reach for my inhaler. And now like, you know, 200 is nothing, you know, 2 minutes of activity is like nothing, which is funny because I used to do distance, distance by a 500 yard race, you know, and now distance like a 500 yard, like, all right, that's a sprint. That's a threshold interval.
I do need to point out for those that didn't catch that, he just said a 200 is like 2 minutes of work. Just to put that in perspective. I heard that too.
I'm sitting here
thinking a 200 is 2 minutes of work. Okay.
There's a lot of other faster people out there as well.
For sure.
So you always can be humbled.
Yep.
But so that's how I got in the sport. Swam through high school, wanted to swim in college, but really just burned myself out. Didn't really achieve what I wanted to burn myself out. And so that's where I really started triathlon. Made the best decision of my life is I started swimming club. That's where I met my wife and some of my best friends to this day. And through college, some of my friends got into triathlon. My wife got into triathlon and they started to encourage me to do it. And I didn't want to. We graduated and my wife started getting more serious into it. And I just didn't want to do it because I didn't want to give up what I could do in the pool. I was like, all right, I'm swimming. I was only doing like swimming after work and stuff by myself, but didn't want to give up what I knew I could do in the pool. And, but I still wanted to compete. And it was hard for me, to find any master's programs around. And so what I did was I swam like with like the US swimming meets, if you ever did those as a kid. So it was me, like, anyone could do it. So I swam in the open division as like a 25-year-old, now swimming against like 12 and 13-year-olds. So that was interesting because it was in the winter. So all the boys, like, were in high school swimming. So, like, I'd, like, get up on the block with facial hair. And, you know, and I'd go up against kids that are just, like, entering puberty. And, you know, and some of them, like, that smoked me. You know, like, some of those kids were good and they smoked me. But at that point, like, Eileen finally wore me down. And in 2012, I said, all right, she was training for a half. And I said, all right, I'll do a sprint. Because there was a sprint on Saturday. And then she would do the half on Sunday. So I kind of did my own thing through the summer, and the my sprint ended up turning into a 5K because of weather. And so at that 5K, like, I ended up doing pretty well, and I figured out I could run. I didn't know, like, how well I did, or, like, I was passionate, but some people, like, I told them, and they were really surprised, and I was like, okay, well, let's see where this goes. I really had the itch at that point of, like, I'd been swimming, biking, by, like, biking, it was going to the gym and, like, the spin bike, like, you know, spinning and doing my own thing for, like, a half hour, and then running, and I was like, I need to do something. So I found, like, one last race at the end of 2012 down in Purdue. I can't remember if it was a sprint or Olympic, but it was, I think, your typical, like, debacle of a first triathlon. You know, came from a swimmer background, so I was great. I was, like, one of the first out of the water, and then it was just downhill from there. You know, I was in transition. I think I just had a jam route. I don't know if I had bike shorts. I just had, like, an Under Armour shirt that I was trying to put on. You know, Eileen's got a photo of me. Like, you know, it's stuck on my head, and I, you know, just, it was all downhill. Get on the bike, and I just got smoked on the bike. I had a road bike, but I got lit up, and then the run was me trying to play catch up. But it was enough to get me hooked, and that's where I started. And then in 2013 is actually Eileen, she got me a coach in 2013. So she's like, she thought I had potential, and so I really started getting serious in 2013. So the goal there was to do a half Ironman, so the same half that my wife had did the year prior, we would do it together in September. And I had a couple of build-up races, I think a couple of sprints and stuff, in Olympics. And so 2013 went, like, pretty well. I enjoyed it. I was in grad school at the time, so it was kind of like balancing school and training. And then when that ended in the summer, I switched over to training. And it's funny, the whole reason I didn't want to, again, the triathlon was balancing three sports is the reason why I'm still doing it today. It's enough variety and spice that, like, I don't get dull and I don't burn out, which is prior I'd swim and I'd build up and I would get pretty in shape. And then I'd be like, why am I doing this? Like, I'm swimming 4 or 5 days a week, and then I would kind of burn out and do something else. So that's what's kept me in it. So 2013, finished with my half, did pretty well there. And decided that they announced that the Worlds in Chicago, the Worlds for the Olympic would be in Chicago in 2015. So talked to my coach, said, all right, we'll do this like 2 years and see if we can get you to Worlds. So around the same time, like, as I started working more with the coach, this is like things get a little dark, I guess. Started probably making some bad decisions, got some bad recommendations. You know, I think if you look at the sport, like, we've changed quite a bit at our perception of carbs specifically, and like what to eat and when to eat. And I was definitely more the approach of, you know, if you put it in you, it could potentially hurt you. And like, and started getting some recommendations around, like, maybe going vegetarian for social reasons, and then limiting carbs because I want to be fat adapted, doing workouts fasted, you know, getting more like focused on, not directly on body weight, but just trying to like be lean in performance. And I think it really started a downward spiral for me a little bit, like, so, which is interesting because my performance was doing well, but then other things started to become a challenge. So kind of went through 2014, did well again that in 2014. That's when I qualified for Worlds at Age Group Nationals, my podium there, and got my slot. So which brought me into 2015. And around this time is when we decided that we tried to have kids. And that really started not going well. And I think there was probably some red flags like along the way, but the trying to have kids really started to like triathlon started to put a stress on the marriage, trying to balance my training. And I was probably like overcommitting on what I was doing in training. And then we had like was probably like a form of reds. The like I was having some, we were having some issues trying to get pregnant, doing all this blood work. Some things came out like with my testosterone levels. So it was kicked off this whole thing of like endocrinologists and talking to people and like asking about body weight and training. And people are telling me, no, it's not that. It's not that. Meanwhile, like things were not good on the home front. Like it was not a good balance. And so in 2015, we decided, all right, like, it would be my swan song. Like let's get through Worlds and we'll decide, and then we'll take a break. You know, or we're not going to do triathlons until we have kids. So I went through 2015, like had Worlds, did really well at Worlds. Tell like some things you remember. Talk about wowing yourself or shocking yourself, to use your words, Matt. Like, I definitely wowed myself in 2015. I ended up getting second at Worlds, you know, and I still remember 42 seconds was first place. And so I think about a lot. I was like, man, I could have came up with 42 seconds somewhere. Like, if I would have known, like, I could have came up with 42 seconds, I'm sure. But anyways, it was a good note to go out on. Then end up taking 2 years off of the sport. Have our first child, our daughter, in December of 2017. I kind of kept active and stuff, but I didn't ask. You know, it was said I wouldn't like go back, you know, until I got the green light. And then in 2018, my wife said, like, all right, you know, I think I'm ready. Like, you know, we got through kind of like the infant phase. My daughter was doing pretty well at 6 months or so. I was like, all right, you know, I want you to start training again. I mean, sense the itch. So got back into it. 2018 and 2019, and did pretty well. Like this podcast, I feel like I've continued to improve, and I went back and looked at like the scores and stuff, and like the numbers show, like, as I've gotten older, I've continued to improve, which is encouraging and incentivizing. Things weren't as great as, like, they're better than they were, let's say, like, health and biomarker wise, but not as good as they should be. So still was struggling with that. And then obviously COVID hit in 2020. My goal was to do half Ironman again on my 30th birthday in 2020. Well, that was April, and so that obviously didn't happen. Still continued, like, you know, like most of us, probably like hoping and praying that like races would still happen. So I trained, ended up getting a stress fracture in fall 2020 when we had our twin boys. It was, you know, didn't have a coach at the time and thought I could continue to run like I normally would. And, you know, sleep deprivation and not having like consistent training, and that reared its ugly head. The other thing, you know, with some like the health issues, I was diagnosed with osteopenia, so I am more susceptible to those types of issues. So then 2021 comes around, and we'll kind of like get to like where I'm calling like phase three, is really like being so like time strapped, like with three little kids, decide like, you know, if I'm going to do this, let's really get serious about it. And so again, still like working with an endocrinologist, but like my biomarkers not being where they should be, you know, reached out. Actually, it was like, that's how I ended up getting introduced to Matt, was, so I listened like to the Tri-Dot podcast, and Dr. Krista Austin was on there, and trying to find someone that, you know, was familiar with the idea of REDS and needed someone to talk to, because the people are talking to in traditional medicine, like the traditional medical field, like I wasn't getting anywhere. And so started working with her. I think one thing I've learned through this process is, as an endurance athlete, like you, I, like, we are not normal. I've had to like almost accept, where it's like people talk about like post-recovery nutrition, and like I'd go like to the weight room and like, do I really need to like drink protein after that? Do I really need to replenish carbs? I was like, no, I'm not a huge guy. I've been trying to be huge for my entire life, and I'm not. And I'm like, I don't really need it. And now I finally accepted that, yeah, I probably do. You know, I'm not normal. You know, the 2,000 calories a day or whatever, like it doesn't apply. You know, like where I'm not in the middle of the population. If you're a endurance athlete, in my opinion, you're not in the middle of the population. So you can't take those like general recommendations you like read in the paper or hear on the radio. And so with working with Dr. Austin, set up a plan, take like 6 weeks off, only allowed to do weight training, and try to put on 15 pounds. And so 10 to 15 pounds. So that's what I did. And then that's when she introduced me to Matt. So I tell you, that 6 weeks was tough. It was like, but things did improve, and my biomarkers came in. I wouldn't say they're okay, not great. They skirt along like that bottom threshold, but things got a lot better. I think my headspace is a good spot. A lot of the issues, I tell you, I used to get night sweats really bad, and I would lose like a lot of water overnight, and like all that stuff went away. So things like that have changed for the better. You know, things on the home front has definitely gotten better, to the point now where we are in a balanced state, you know, and figuring out how to juggle like my career, my wife's career. Like, you know, she's really gotten into yoga, so like all my workouts have shifted now from like to after work to like now I'm up and like I'm on the bike, I'm in the pool, I'm running whatever by 6 a.m., which is funny because I swam for years at starting at 6 a.m. And once I was done with that, like I could never like bring myself back to getting in a pool, you know, in the morning. But it's funny, like when you have kids and that's your only time slot, you somehow you figure it out. So that's kind of like where we are now is, you know, I put on 15 pounds and like, I was surprised at like the change. I'll tell you, like you, Julian, you mentioned like your workout being 20 to 50 watts short today. Like my FTP went up by 40 watts. Like after that, you know, and I didn't really believe, and I had to go back and look at the data because I'm a data guy. And yeah. And then my swim improved by like 7 to 8 seconds per 100, like wow. After that. Wow. But I will say like my run is something I'm still figuring out. I'll say like my body is still like figuring out how to adapt and handle the extra like 15 pounds. Mm-hmm. Like, as Matt knows, I've, you know, over the past 2 years, like been working through like a series of injuries. And part of it, I think, is going back to like when to draw the line, when to cross the line, and like, and really understanding where is that line now that, you know, you're 15 pounds heavier. It's that the load bearing sport of running, like that is no joke. Like it's something it's been a hard lesson for me to learn.
Yeah. I want to jump back to phase one and the start of the health journey here that you've got. I mean, it's obviously a triathlon journey intertwined with some health knowledge that you've gained. You mentioned being vegetarian and then also trying to do fat adaption, which are kind of in conflict a little bit, right? A vegetarian diet is already hard to get to protein and fats, right?
Yep.
And there's going to be people that say, well, I'm a vegetarian and I don't have this problem. But it sounded like there was just a compounding going on with two opposing mentalities along with trying to cut weight, right? Is that a way to sum up?
Yeah. And I would say like I wasn't directly... Yeah, I would say I was trying to directly cut weight. I think it was just a result of, okay, you want to be vegetarian. So that cuts out a big chunk of accessible food. And then you start reading about, well, grains are bad, you know, and then this is bad and I should only do organic. And so like, all right, so of the pie, you know, you get to smaller and smaller like wedges. And I remember doing like huge blocks of workouts and I'd have like a sardine salad for dinner. So I'd get some protein, but it's like, where's the carbs? You know, like I'm getting my collard greens, I'm getting all my veggies and stuff, but I'm really not like the calorie deficit is just too great. Cause I'm like, kind of like, you know, listen to the media, if you will, you know, avoid white rice, avoid white flour, you know, it's a bread's bad type thing. And so I think I just got myself in a negative place with it, and I wasn't like, you know, at some point you just need calories. Like, you know, it probably would have been better to just go off and eat like McDonald's or Wendy's and then put myself in the place I was in. And I think what I figured out for me is, you know, and then dairy was kind of saying, you know, should you be doing dairy or not? You know, you started to think like I'm special and unique and I need all these exceptions and stuff. But really, what I found is like, I'm fine with dairy. I do fine with dairy and like, and I do better when like I eat like animal protein. And that's just like what I've like found for myself personally. Not to like say like you can't do it, but that's just been my personal experience.
Right, right. Yeah. And that's what I was trying to get at. It is a personal balance that you need to find too.
Well, and yeah, like Brett, you mentioned, you know, endurance athletes, right? We're not like the rest. And it can be really easy to get caught up in what is the fad or the trend in the media with respect to what should I eat, what should I not eat. And I think some of the information that you get can be good. It's good to hear some of it, but you definitely have to keep in mind the fact that we're asking a heck of a lot more of our bodies than what the average person who's probably working a desk job, commuting a ton and a lot more sedentary. And it's extra critical that they're taking some of that advice to the T, but we have to make sure that we've got those carbs in. And for some listeners, just, you know, Brett had mentioned REDS, and just a reminder just to let some of you know. So that stands for Relative Energy Deficiency Syndrome. And so it used to be known as the female triad, which Lauren LeBlanc and I had kind of talked about on one of our previous episodes, actually. And it's usually associated with like women and missing periods and things like that. But more and more research is coming out that says, hey, actually, guys are highly susceptible to this too. If you're under fueling and overtraining, like so Brett, right? Risk of stress fractures go up. Low T can become an issue, and a lot of other biomarkers and health hazards come out of just not fueling properly. So yeah, it's so important that you're careful what portions of the media you consume. Even in the endurance world, right? There was a big push very recently with, you know, Sam Long and some of the coaches that they're using and this push for, you know, low carb, but I think it's been taken out of context as well, right? I think if you actually listen to the details, they're using some specific strategic workouts targeting that, but it is not like the theme of their entire lifestyle. So you do have to be really careful what media you consume as you try to do this endurance game.
Yeah. And I'll say for me, it was like the theme of my lifestyle.
Yeah.
And and I just did like a race rehearsal for a 70.3 coming up. And I think over the bike, I took in like almost 1,000 calories. And like back in like 2015 or so, on the same ride, I'd maybe take in like 300 or so. So I'm like almost like probably 3x on the amount of calories I'm taking on the bike. And then I tell you, I mean a lot more before and after that ride too than I would before.
I think one of the biggest mistakes people make is putting not as much effort into their recovery as they do their training. I mean, I know that's one of the things I talk about frequently. I jokingly will say this all the time. I mean, if your goal is to look good naked, I'm not the coach for you, and this is not the sport for you. I mean, it's a performance engine that we're developing, and that performance requires fuel. If you want to race the Ferrari or just look at the Ferrari. And I've said that many, many times to people. Do you just want to be a Ferrari to look at, or do you want to be a racing Ferrari? And you got to put the fuel in it. And, you know, recovery is huge. You got to fuel it. I like to say you don't know you feel bad till you feel good. And it's about putting the calories in and really seeing what can you do when you have the energy. I think it's easy for us as athletes to get caught up in the aesthetic sides of things. We can look at somebody who is aesthetically very fit. And what's the assumption? That they're fast. And yes, it's true. If an object weighs less and has lower mass, it has the potential to go faster with the same engine. But at what deficit? I don't like the term racing weight. And I think we got to be careful, especially with our younger kids with track and field, swimming, cycling, gymnastics, that we do. We really are careful about how we present body image with our kids today. Because using the words thin, using the words fat, or using the words, oh, you look in shape, it's relative to the sport that you're playing. Brett, getting back to your story, it sounds like you kind of saw some of these things cascading. Like it was right there in front of you. You saw some of the warning signs, but it also sounds like you continued down that path. Was it when you guys decided to start a family? Did you look back and see all those warning signs and kind of maybe have that thought of, I wish I had done something sooner? Or was it, I was happy with the way the results were coming and I didn't think this was going to have impact?
I was happy with the results. I was like, if I'm really destroying my body, like I shouldn't see the performance improvements I'm seeing. I think that was like the almost like outlier, the weird part of this. So like trying to get pregnant, like anything we're looking at on the sex hormone side, or like we're having like all these blood test runs, like things were coming out low, like it was abnormal. I was getting really lean, which I think was actually contributing to like the biomarkers. But then like my performance was doing really well. I'm like, well, if my body's shutting down, why am I continuing to get better? And then, so that was kind of like my point of denial. The other challenge I had was talking with a few endocrinologists, some people have said it's not your weight. Like, you know, I talk about training and they say it's not your weight, it's not the training. You know, I had like an MRI done, and he said that there is like something that's odd with my pituitary gland. It's not, again, it's not like the smoking gun. It could be contributing to it. My kind of theory is like the deck's already kind of stacked against me, so I'm not working with like a full hand. And then, you know, so I'm just more sensitive to this stuff. That's like one. That's my personal hypothesis. But then the other doctor stuff, like, wouldn't like said, like, no, it's not your training. It's not like your behavior. You're fine. Cause they look at me like on the BMI scale and I'm like, yeah, on the low side, but they're not familiar with the, you know, by the endurance sport and probably like the tax I'm putting on my body. You know, even like try to explain it, they probably don't like comprehend it. And so it's not until like, you know, you gotta make your own advocate and find people that are familiar with your sport, whether it's a coach or a nutritionist or stuff. You gotta find those right people that have the right experience that can help you.
Yeah. Well, let's fast forward now back to phase three. I mean, obviously with a lot of education, a lot of medical help, and then obviously an extremely supportive and encouraging spouse who's standing there right next to you through all of this, you've got an amazingly healthy daughter now at this point, and you're back in the sport. And, you know, when we started, you know, I think the first race we started really training you for was 70.3 steelhead. That was kind of what I would say your grand re-entry. Let's talk a little bit about as you got back to that 70.3 distance, stepping back up to that distance and just kind of the journey to that first 70.3.
So we started working together in the fall, like in winter of 2021. And that was like coming off of my like work with Dr. Austin and like in my break. And I'll tell you, like, I was shocked. That first FTP test was like almost on par with my highest ever, which just blew my mind, which was like my first indication that, all right, maybe something's different here. You know, maybe like I wasn't doing it right in the past. And then things progressed really well. I started seeing my swim come back again, not being in shape, but I was putting down times that I haven't seen since like college and high school, which surprised me. And those things were going well. But then I think we had like the running became like a problem and a challenge, you know, trying to bring back my running form. And everything else was going fantastic. But 22, I really struggled with my run through that whole year. We were able to get me to steelhead, and I had a pretty good day at steelhead, and it felt good. It felt good to do a 70.3 again. You know, I've been doing, like my past couple races have been Olympics, and there's no burn quite like an Olympic of like, you know, just 2 hours of just like, you know, like bloodshot eyes. So I'm looking forward to like to doing like a 70.3 again here in September. So like the journey's been good, and like I feel like I'm in a good place with it. You know, it's different now having kids. Like I will still say, like, triathlon's for me. Like number one, like why do I do it? It's because I love it, enjoy it. It's part of who I am. I'm probably overall a better person. Like when I'm like training and working towards something, I've just always challenged myself physically. It's always for better or worse, like how I just assess who I am, how I'm doing. You guys mentioned before, like I think Matt, you said your kids and stuff. Like it's pretty cool. Like when like you come home with a medal and like, daddy, did you win? And you know, like it's a medal. She doesn't know if it's a finish or medal or podium or whatever. But you know, my daughter's been able to come to some of the races, and like just to see her excitement is like, it's really cool. Something that I wasn't anticipating. That like I would enjoy, or that would affect me. But like she came up to like age group nationals, and I saw her like in the morning before I started, and then at the end, and then she was all excited. I think she's probably more excited from like the post race food than anything. Right. But I mean that
you're
does
not
make it
to share
different.
That.
And yeah, and when like she like goes like to daycare, and she's like, my daddy's racing this weekend, you know, and like and. I'm trying to figure out now at what point will I go from being cool to embarrassing? Because I'm like, you know, down in the basement, like on the trainer.
It happened. At least it did to me.
It did happen.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. I was cool. And then, yeah, when I bring the trainer out to volleyball tournaments, and one of the teammates who's a neighborhood friend and stayed with us, they're like, Mom, are you going to ride your bike in the hotel room? I was like, yeah, I got to get my ride in. It's okay. I'll be quiet. They're like, you're not quiet. So yeah,
they do have a point.
I will say, Jillian, you're an inspiration though. Cause I know I listened to some of the podcasts before and you've mentioned that. And I'm like, that's probably going to be me. If we get into volleyball or travel baseball, yeah. I'm like, I'm going to spec out like, all right, packing the kicker, like where's the track, you know,
yep.
Tethering myself to, you know, a ladder in the pool. Like that's going to be me.
How many buys, like how is it a ref and then a buy between games? Okay. That's just enough time to get a run in. I might be sweaty. So just, you know, pack like wet wipes, right? So you can do just a quick wipe down and at least look somewhat presentable. But yeah, I am pretty sure I embarrass my kids now. So
for your daughter, she will become embarrassed when someone says men shouldn't wear spandex. That's when they start realizing, Daddy, you're really embarrassing me. So I finally reached that age. I just learned that in the last couple of days myself. So
one of my most favorite pictures I've seen was Brett's wife, Eileen, is phenomenal. Every race that he does, she and I are texting throughout the whole thing, and she's keeping me abreast as to what's going on. And this past year at Age Group Nationals, she sent me a photo, and I don't think Brett saw it right away, but afterwards, I mean, Brett's in the front walking, hat on backwards, got his kit, standing there, and the daughter's walking right behind. She's got a hat on backwards too, wearing her little two-piece bikini, got this sassy little walk going, and in her hand she's got a Gatorade and a bag of Sun Chips, and she's just strutting right behind her dad. And you could just see it was just, and I think she made the comment, Brett, if I recall, that she was like, my daddy had the fastest swim today, or my daddy won the swim today, you know.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you never know. I mean, actually, our recent guests, right? Sarah and Bella. So yeah. Who knows? Your daughter might follow in the footsteps, or your twins, right? You have twin, were they boys?
Twin boys.
Twin boys, yes.
Twin boys. I already know I'm going to be the smallest in the family.
Yeah.
Like, my boys are going to be bigger than me, and my daughter's probably going to be bigger than me.
Right.
So I'll give up the hype, but we'll see if I have to relinquish like the speed.
Yeah.
Now, Brett, one thing I know about you, and I do love this aspect of you, and I know your wife will say this as well, but you are extremely humble when it comes to your race accolades. I know you downplay some things a little, and that's just your personality, and I love that aspect of you. So I'm going to brag on you here a little, and I hope you're okay with that. So Jay, when you asked how Steelhead went really well. He was second age group, and what were you, seventh, eighth overall at the entire race? Yeah, something like that. I mean, it was like a 4:14, okay? So, I mean, yeah, it was an okay day, if you know what I mean. But not long after that, we had Age Group Nationals that same year. And I think he forgot to say that he had won the USAT Age Group National Championship in 2021. And then he repeated in 2022. Well, in 2023, this past year, he was third at Age Group Nationals this past year. Chicago Triathlon this year, second overall. Last year, was it third overall last year?
I didn't race it last year.
That's right.
I won it the year before.
The year before. So, I mean, he is not a stranger to the podium.
When your daughter's like, did you win? Yeah, she's asking you because you actually like legit straight up win these things. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And I had the fortune. I know Jillian, Jay, you're all of us, of the four of us, raced St. George together. And Brett, you had a pretty solid day there too. Do you remember your finishing time at St. George at Worlds?
I know. I remember I was coming back from an injury. I was just happy to run. That was 13.1 miles of pain. That's what I remember of St. George.
Yeah. If I recall, you were sub 4:40. So I think that on that course, and it may have been even sub 4:30. I can't remember 100%, but I mean, very, very talented. And I mean, you're right. Your numbers keep improving. It's fun to see what's going on. He just went sub 36 minutes on the 10K at the Chicago Tri off the bike, consistently first out of the water, sub 20 minutes on a 1500 meter swim. So, I mean, he's got the full package. He's got the full arsenal. And kind of as he's alluded, is we're close to having that run back to form. And we got a big 70.3 coming up here in about 2 weeks. So that's going to be excited to kind of see the fruit of his labor coming in healthy.
Can we riff a little bit on the run effort? And when you say back to form, what does that mean? What are we talking about relative terms before, after, where you want to get to your goal? What are you working on to make it happen?
You know, I'd love to get back to like sub 36 for a 10K. Well, we'll see if Matt lets me think I can do it. Like, I'd love to go like a sub 120 for my half, like, at the 70.3. That's what, like, it's just in my head. We'll see if I can get there.
Yeah. What is the journey like? What do you think has been part of the recipe? You mentioned the weight, certainly, but is it more strength training that you're working towards to adapt to the weight? How do you focus on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we've done is some strength training, like stability work, is something I've been working on. you know, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, of, all right, you can go 5 seconds faster than target, not 15, not 20. I think it's really figuring out what can we manage? What can we manage on the run and what can we manage on the bike? It's really load balancing. And so I had a long run here on Wednesday, ran for almost an hour and 40 minutes, which I think is the longest run I've ever done. But it was mostly zone two. I had like one Z3 effort, but it was zone two. And it's like, all right, just force myself, all right, I'm going to stick to zone two. And what we've, being a swimmer, and this is something I start with the men I've talked about, is, you know, swimming, like I can take the load. And it's like, all right, if I want to go pick a time, you know, if I want to go a 5 minute 500, I got to be able to go a minute for 100 first. You know, I got to figure out how to train at that and work my way up. And so that's just like my mindset of running is like, all right, if I want to run 540s or 530s, whatever, like, I got to do that in training. I got to get that acclimation. And what we're figuring out is like, and Matt says, like, I don't necessarily need to do that. You know, I can get to that more with just like being consistent, I think, is above all king with anything. It's just like the consistency. So it's more important for me to keep running, even if that means I'm doing more like zone two work and then working in strides and things like that to get my form, and then being very precise and focused about when like we throw in like threshold intervals and stuff. Like I haven't done, and you know, I get annoyed with Matt because I don't see him on the work on my calendar, so I'm guessing he's pulling things out, but it's working. It's like I don't see a lot of threshold like running in there. Like I don't see a lot of like 8x3s or, you know, 10x2s or 4x6s, things like that I'm used to seeing. So it's figuring out what can I tolerate.
Each athlete's different. And one thing that I pay very close attention to, and Brett alluded to this, is, you know, workouts are stress. That is why we do them. Workouts elicit stress that we put on the body purposefully to elicit change, to create adaptations. However, we have to have a blend of load and how much fatigue can we carry around and still produce. And that's the hardest blend to find. And again, Brett was alluding to having some injuries. And right now, we are in a good balance of load, fatigue, production. And we're at a good point where we're putting the right amount of load on. He's carrying around not residual fatigue, but the right amount that the next day or 2 days later, he's able to get stuff out of that. And it's not inhibiting performance. It's actually contributing to better performance. And it's, again, it's a blend of, okay, you have this great bike. And I've made this comment before. It's like, if you play an ace on the bike, you can only play a jack on the run. He's got the ability to play a king on both, but it's finding out how hard do we push on that bike, which is still going to allow him to go sub 36 on the run. Do we pull back a little here so we can go harder here? And, you know, and that's the art of coaching. And that's what's so intriguing. And Jay, you alluded to that earlier about going conservative on the bike, respecting the power meter so you can run like you know you're capable of. When we do training sessions as a bike training session, we can overwork on that bike training session. It's a bike specific session, a run specific session, we can go hard. But when we compound the two together, you can't go with those same two intensities. You got to be able to pull them both back and find the balance of them. And we've talked about this also. In Brett's situation, unlike myself, I can't go out there. He can swim like he swims and he doesn't burn a ton of energy. He comes out of the water feeling very refreshed, lower heart rate. Whereas if I went out those paces, I come out energy expended. I've already wasted a lot of fuel. I've already burned a lot of calories. And I'm trying to get my heart rate down when I get on the bike, whereas he gets on the bike and he's able to get it elevated because he's coming off in such a good condition.
I think sometimes too, you know, Brett, when you're doing your workouts, right, sometimes it's maybe you see the set you're given and it's like, I know I can go faster than this, right? And so it's reminding yourself that this run, this workout, even when you're done with it, it's not that it's that was all I was capable of. That's just what I was supposed to do. And sometimes that mind shift in the workout, for myself, I know it's something that I've battled with over time, you know, especially if it's a threshold and hard. And it's like, was that the hard? If it was supposed to be hard, does that mean go hardest? Was that all I was capable of doing? And it was like, No, just because that's what I did, it doesn't mean that's what I'm capable of doing. That's just what I'm supposed to do. Really paying attention to the intention of the workout, respecting the zones, because it does that zone two stuff does do magic behind the scenes, and you see that fruit over time. You don't see it immediately, and it's so easy to get caught up in the numbers and thinking about, oh, was that all I could do? No, that's all I was supposed to do. But
yeah. I mean, I had that this morning where I had like an hour zone two ride, and like I always like I'll push that zone two, but I'm like learning like to respect it. And I think the just growing up swimming, the way I'm wired, I'm used to intensity. Like hit interval, like hit training is like what I've been doing like since I was 12, and so like and I'd go up like just like every day, like, all right, we're changing today's distance day or sprint day or IM day or whatever, but it's like, it's intensity. And we're just like, we're getting the rest in there. I'm used to like being able to come and like hit it every day, but I figuring out like with biking and obviously the running is like, all right, we'll up the frequency on the run, but we can't like come in like, you're not going to do intervals every day. And so you got to get yourself out of that mindset and embrace the process and train like a triathlete.
I think one big thing that we've really worked on, and I had to earn this, and I think he needed to learn to do this for himself, is trust. It's trust. I needed to earn his trust as his coach that I have his best interests and I'm leading him down the path that I think will get him to where he needs to be. And what I meant by that he needed to trust is he needed to trust himself. And building that confidence and allowing him to trust his abilities and knowing that it's going to show up on race day. And how we manage some of these injuries and how we're managing his training and knowing it's like, okay, I know I can do this, and trusting and believing in yourself. So, I mean, trust is a huge factor here. Trusting your body to take care of yourself.
Yeah, I think we've done an amazing service, I hope. And we're talking about an elite age group athlete today, but everything we've talked about applies to any level triathlete, that you have to listen to your body. You have to recognize that workouts are by design either to add load, shed fatigue, or the next step in that process. You're working on three sports and trying to balance improving in all three. It is quite a balance for sure.
Yeah. And I'll say like, I still feel like I truly believe like I haven't peaked yet. Like, I don't think like my best days are behind me. It's just not how I live or what I believe. And since we're with Matt and we talked about some of my numbers, like 2022 was my best year on record. So, and then I still think like I can do better. You know, I didn't have a good 70.3 last year. Like both races, I came back from injuries both times. You know, this year, like steelhead again, like, so like fighting through an injury. So I'm hoping like here this year, like with my second one, that I can finally like get off the bike and like, and just run and not have to like to think about it again. Really excited on like where we're going. And this is a learning process. I don't have this all figured out. What I do know is that like consistency. Yeah. Consistency is utmost important. This is one thing like I've learned. It's, you know, if you like, you know, use your words, Matt, you know, like listen to your body when it whispers before it yells type thing. Like it's much more important like to like chuck a workout, especially a run workout, and keep myself running than really like go and like nail that session. And this is what happened to me last year. Like, and then pay for it for the next 2 months and lose everything.
Yeah.
And that's one of my biggest favorite things that, you know, in the relationship Brett and I've had is the maturity aspect of when we do our weekly calls where he said, hey, you know, I needed to pull back. I needed to punt this. And it's like when we first started, it was, well, I'm going to get through it. And it's contributing to injury prevention. It's contributing to better race performances as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Brett, how old are you?
38.
Yeah. We don't have to worry about
him. Yeah, not your age group. You're good.
Yeah. I was wondering if I was going to have to catch up.
No, trust me. I've already done the math. I think that was part of why I took him on as an athlete, was we're never going to be in the same age group.
So, Brett, you've got a 70.3 this year. Do you have any more races planned for this year? I know you're coming off an injury, or do you kind of have ideas of what you want to do next year as well, if this is kind of the end of season for 23?
Yeah. So, I think next year, I definitely want to do Ohio 70.3. I haven't been able to do it the past 2 years. That race is essentially in my hometown. I think the bike course goes like 2 miles where my mother still lives. So I definitely want to do that race next year. I've done age group nationals many years. And it's been in Milwaukee, which is, you know, being Chicago, just a little over an hour run. Next year, it's in Atlantic City, I think. So I don't know what I'm going to do there. Like the one thing, you know, this is like, I really love the sport. I love training. I love challenging myself. You know, I said consistency is really important and I think essential to success. But because of that, like it can be, and like from like my previous go arounds, it's like it can become very like taxing like on the family. So it's something I'm very cognizant of. And like I try to set up my workouts so it's at least as disruptive as possible. Like we got my week set up so my wife can go to yoga. Basically Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, my wife can leave the house. So I can leave the house on Monday and Friday in the mornings, and then we're home for the kids. But same thing goes like for races. You know, I've traveled very little for races because it's, you know, it's a lot of planning, especially with kids and such. So Ohio 70.3 is nice because we can go and we can stay with my mom, and that makes sense. And then we get some like babysitting out of it. And then I look for other races like that, a lot of local races and stuff. So I can, last year I did like a local one, and I think I was like back by 11, you know, and like everyone was up and like just had finished breakfast. So that was fantastic. So other big ones, I don't know. I still have Triple T like somewhere in my horizon. I've done it once. I know Matt's a fan of that one.
Love it.
Say that is the one race that has like humbled me. Is the third day, the half, like that also was like back when like I was vegetarian, not eating right. So like I bonked hard on that half. Yeah. So that maybe at some point in my future. Otherwise, if I can race like 4 or 5 times a year, it doesn't have to be. I'm very intrinsically motivated. I don't have to do an Ironman brand race. I can, if I get myself psyched up, I know Jay, I think you did like yourself, like time, like a half marathon, whatever. Like I could go all in and I could talk to Matt and like, I would easily like dedicate like a 12 week block of training, like just so I could go do a half by myself. Like
I'd like to see a half on your calendar in this early spring, if not late fall, I would.
Yeah. So maybe we'll get one of those in there.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Very cool.
Before we do clear this up, Brett, I mean, I know you've dealt with a lot, but do you have any advice that you would give to anybody that might be experiencing similar symptoms or maybe similar kind of considerations along the Reds? I mean, just from your experience, as far as like maybe where would you start? Who would you reach out to if you think that maybe some of what you're dealing with could be borderline Reds, or what direction would you point them to?
I mean, I think first is like to seek advice. So if I'm like medical professional, so if you like a sports medicine doctor, you know, it's like Dr. Austin is fantastic, or you know, anyone else in the community. I think more doctors are like becoming known, or like if information is available that they're associated with Reds, like just people you can talk to. Go, even like going to your family practitioner, getting some blood work done, just kind of like, you know, getting your hormone levels checked, your thyroid, your testosterone, your cortisol, things of that nature, and just see if everything looks okay, and not being afraid to seek help, or not even, I would say help, just like look for more information. I think that's like what started me on the path was Eileen, like put like, it was a practice thing, but she really pushed and said like, you got to go see someone. Yeah. Get this started. And then unfortunately, like it took me way too long to find like the right group of doctors or the right network that could help. So, but at least like when we got the first like blood work done, we knew something was up. And so that was like the first indication.
Right.
Yeah. Another one you had mentioned where you just from a sign, the night sweats, even sometimes. I know for me personally, sometimes I'd be like, oh, it's because I'm 42, you know, I'm getting older, I'm female, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, actually, I just was underfueled because it took me hearing Dr. Chris Austin, like you mentioned on one of the other podcasts, mention, you know, sometimes night sweats are a function of underfueling, and it's not quite Reds, right? But you're starting to toe that line, and there you go, Mac, you know, draw the line across the line, right? And so I think it's really important too, if you even have subtle things like that, like at least maybe you don't have to go call a professional right away, but maybe consider whether you're underfueling and up that fueling and see if that starts starts to help, because that very well could be a symptom or an early sign.
Things like that. The libido is a big one.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say it, like talk to Dr. Austin, like morning erections is another one. Like you should, like if you're everything's healthy, that should be occurring. You mentioned night sweats. I used to like have night sweats most nights. I would get up and go to the bathroom, like relieve my bladder like 2 or 3 times a night. And I thought that was normal. And like no. And so now like if I have to get up and pee in the middle of the night, it's, you know, I must have drank a bunch of water right before bed. It's very rare at this point. So it's really odd. Like now it's like normal, but at the time I was like, you mean like I shouldn't be peeing in the middle of the night? I just like you adapt, you know, and like you dare something like this is normal. And sometimes I take someone and tell you, like, no, like you shouldn't be getting up and going to the bathroom 3 times a night. Like you don't have a prostate issue. Like that shouldn't be happening.
Well, certainly glad that you were able to, you know, figure things out and move in a different direction. And I mean, overall, it's a great, great decision and glad you addressed it.
Yeah. What an awesome journey too. I mean, though, to deal with all that and just be at, you know, just at the top of the game, you know, and definitely it's not all been fun and games. And I think your perseverance and everything you've learned and shared and taught us today is pretty awesome. So definitely looking forward to seeing, you know, how your races go upcoming and into next year. You're definitely one to watch, Brett.
Thank you. And we're not done.
Yeah.
I know. I love
you
it.
Got a great many years left ahead of you, clearly. And really appreciate your candor and openness about the challenges. And boy, we wish you the best. We know it's an exciting time. Well, thanks again for listening to the Triathlon Age Group Journey. We really appreciate all of you out there and the support and messages. We are just been blown away by the love and support that makes us want to do this every single week. If you want to reach out to us, you can find us on Instagram at Triathlon Age Group Journey, or you can email us at triathlonagegroupjourney@gmail.com. And one last request, if you wouldn't mind on your podcast platform to leave us a rating, hopefully 5 stars, but give us some feedback. Let us know what you'd like to hear about. Race smart, enjoy your weekends, and keep getting it done. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thanks, guys. Brett, thanks for being here again. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Have a good week, guys.